are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. It is, what is today, Tuesday? We do this on Tuesdays now, so I should remember that. It's Tuesday, August 18th, 2009. I am your host, Brian Kilby. With me, as always, I have our co-host, JD. How's it going, JD?
Excellent, sir. How are you today?
Oh, I am fantastic. I'm sitting here drinking an off-brand cola, the zero-calorie variety, and it is delicious.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. This week, actually, we have someone new and someone old that the longtime listeners will remember. We have John DeLuna. How's it going, John?
Gentlemen, how are you guys?
Oh, we're awesome.
Excellent, sir.
Very good, very good. Yeah, it's good to be back. I guess I was like off the grid for, I don't know, almost a decade, it seems like.
I've not actually saw you in person since like BotCon 2006, I think.
Wow, has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Oh, man. Well, it's good to be back. And so, you know, I'll be contributing here and there and chiming in, you know, when I have something good to say. So, I mean, you guys take it away. This is your baby. So you guys go for it.
Okay, JD, you typically start things out with this day in Transformers history, so why don't you hit us up with that?
Sure. August 23rd, which will be coming up this week, 1986, is supposedly the birthday of none other than Grimlock. Now, of course, this is according to UK Comics, and you get three guesses, and the first two don't count. Who made that up?
I don't know.
UK Comics and Grimlock.
I don't know.
John?
That'd be Mr. Furman.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Shocking. Shocking.
So it's his birthday. So the day he was built, I guess, or, I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What counts as like the beginning of his life?
It's a little vague. At that point in the comic, Grimlock was starting to do the reader mail. And because that was his first day doing the mail, that's the day he declared was his birthday. So.
Okay.
Because,
you know, he was around way before that over here. That doesn't really make any sense to me. Like at all.
That's the first day he got a job. So it's the first day he was pulling his own weight, I guess.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we don't cover news here that often, but there is one large bit of news that just came up. Tentatively, and I love that word, tentatively, Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen has a release date on home video, which is October 29th, 2009. Now, JD and I have differences of opinion when it comes to Revenge of the Fallen, and of course, I assume, John, that you've saw Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What did you think?
The midnight showing, which was, you know, teen-tastic, full of America's youth, so it was an interesting audience. I guess it was what I expected. I mean, it's kind of what I got out of the first movie. It came across as like the best that Michael Bay can do. Take that for what it's worth. I mean, it's everything good and bad about Michael Bay and his style, and cranked up to 11. I think the first one was a better story. I think it probably had better pacing, and the sense of discovery was better. And then at Revenge of the Fallen, by the end of the movie, you know, Decepticons were being popped off left and right like cannon fodder.
Give me your face.
Yeah, it was a completely different.
Yeah, I think that Revenge of the Fallen had terrible pacing in basically every, you know, possible way. And there were things that I liked about it. You know, I'm not like a big Megan Fox fan, but she was pretty hot in this movie. She packed on a little bit of weight, so she looked pretty good. But that's really it. That's the only thing I really cared for in the whole movie. That and Sam's parents.
Well, and there was, you know, I mean, the Pretender chick was not necessary. I mean, it wasn't the best representation of a pretender, but she was pretty hot.
Yeah, I guess.
Michael Bay has a look, I think. I think it's pretty clear. He has a certain chick that he likes.
Okay, I picked up a couple of things this week. I just wanted to quickly go over what they were. And first, I'll share the toy-based items. Have either of you guys actually saw the RPM toys, the RPM toys from Revenge of the Fallen?
I've seen the pictures of them, but I'm not quite clear on what they are or what they do.
They are non-transforming, basically matchbox cars or Hot Wheels that are made of plastic. And if you stand, they actually stand up and reveal a basically a relief of the character underneath. They are incredibly, incredibly lame. In fact, my wife, when she saw them, she suggested that we put them under the wheel of the car so that we could take a video and put it on YouTube of us basically running over them. So, wow. Yeah. So I'm basically going to throw those across the room. I say skip those.
So RPM stands for Remover of Pocket Money.
Yes. There were $8 for two pieces of crap.
Wow. I think that they're probably only good if you get the Devastator playset, which is like a Hot Wheels playset.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That was way too much money.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're not going to get that, probably not recommended to get the cars.
Yeah. Also, she picked up for me the Transformers gummy multivitamins. I wanted her to pick me up some vitamins because I ran out, and she came home with this. It has this large disembodied Optimus Prime head on the top of the cap and a little gummy Transformers within. I don't know whose idea it was to put vitamins in the form of gummy, but it really doesn't work. I mean, it's really marketed for kids 4 and up, and I'm 4 and up. But it's not really good, and I would recommend also that you don't pick that up. So I'm throwing that across the room too. So skip those as well.
Done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did pick up one thing this week. It's old, you know, of any consequence. My friend Chris has been telling me for the longest time that that the Activator's Grimlock is the best instance of Grimlock. Period. And I can say that he is. So, really? Yeah, I picked him up. I loved him to death.
Hmm. Is that pre-Masterpiece Grimlock, or...?
That's ignoring Masterpiece Grimlock because it's a completely different dynamic.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, actually, I haven't gotten Masterpiece Grimlock yet. I assume that at this point that you have, John, though. Are you still a completist
I mean, I do pretty good. I mean, I was really into animated, like a lot of people, and then, you know, like also like a lot of people, you know, that love or hate with the movie aesthetic. So, I mean, I'm not in love with it. So I do get toys here and there for the movies, but I try to keep up with Masterpiece stuff, and I actually haven't gotten Grimlock yet. And I think a lot of people haven't gotten Grimlock for whatever reason. He kind of came and went, like that first, like, shipment of him like came and went instantly.
A lot of people are also waiting for him, waiting for Hasbro possibly to do an issue of him too. Yeah. I know lots of people are doing that. I'm not going to. I'm going to pick him up because I don't always trust Hasbro to bring in all of those items. I mean, they don't really have a reason to, other than, you know, to serve the fan community. But I mean, the number of those they'll actually sell probably isn't worth, or can't probably justify the cost.
Well, and put out, I mean, I don't know that I ever saw a Masterpiece Starscream in the store.
I didn't. I saw one in person that was purchased at a store, and again, Chris has it, and I missed out on it. Never saw him once.
So, I mean, that can be a gamble. I mean, like, I'm kind of gambling on the Legends Devastator coming out here, but, I mean, who knows? Who knows if that's going to hit here or not?
Is the Legends Devastator? That's not the Revenge of the Fallen toy. What is that?
Yeah.
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 It's the big, huge $100 version?
No. This one is all made up of the little hero, or the mini Transformers.
Yeah, like almost like Mini-Con size.
Oh, I even saw that.
Yeah, but there's a version of that with where. I think it has one more component than the rest.
Oh, yeah. I came across this week the Revenge of the Fallen, the $100 super mega ultimate crappy Devastator at Target. Just not interested in that. Considering what Devastator ended up being in the movie, I don't know that I could possibly be interested in a Devastator that has anything to do with Revenge of the Fallen.
I mean, not that one anyway. It's just, it's... Well, at the price range, it's too overpriced. So maybe with some luck, you know, in a year, there'll be tons of them, like, I don't know, Beast Machines Cheetor, and we can get them for like $10. But
you can still get Cheetor for like $5 on eBay. I sold one for like $5. I'm not joking.
And that was overpriced. God, I hated that figure. But I don't know what the thing that bothers me is the individual figures do not have robot modes. If they had robot modes, I would be all for it. But I can't get behind it if it's just vehicles into one robot.
Yeah, you can't justify like just a really big action figure with like little or no like paint apps. He's really basic looking. Mm-hmm. And for $100, you know, you expect a little bit more.
So what about Bumblebee, the one that plays Devo, or that formerly played Devo, the Ultimate Bumblebee? Can we justify that?
I don't know. What do you think, JD?
I passed on it. But I have to pass on everything because I'm poor. But I think I would have been more likely to pick that up than say the Devastator. You know, I saw some reviews of it that actually would have made me think to purchase it. You know, it's something I had to pass on. If I had the money and wanted it, I probably would have got it. But, I mean, again, I don't like necessarily dropping the money on the big figures unless they're worth it. You know, big is not necessarily better.
Yeah, Walmart clearanced out Ultimate Bumblebee the first go-round for like $30, and I still didn't get it. He's okay. The fact that he played Devo was pretty cool. I actually really like the alt mode, but I really couldn't justify it. I couldn't justify the shelf space, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, I usually don't get like the big figures unless like there's a scale thing. Like if it's a big figure of a big character, so you know, like a Bumblebee that towers over everybody. You know, I'd have a tough time with that. Just a personal thing, like displaying and things like that. So I really wasn't like into Ultimate Bumblebee.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really can't justify the new toy because it's basically, is it even a retool? I mean, it's not even, it's the same toy.
I believe so, yeah, basically.
Same. Yeah, skip that too. Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back with a discussion on, so what do we call these? We don't call them add-ons, they're fan projects.
Yeah, fan projects, that's a good term.
Okay, we'll come back here in a moment after this word from It Figures with a discussion on fan projects.
The Beast Wars are back! Join It Figures for a look back at the toys that shaped a generation.
Oh, cool.
It's an evolution revolution at It Figures all this month. Figurereviews.com.
Beast Wars!
Fan projects, you know what I'm talking about, like the Masterpiece Prime trailer, or like the iGear Auto Scout. JD, you seem to be the person who is like most in tune, you know, perhaps a slight exaggeration, but you know way more about this than I do. Why don't you tell us about what these projects are?
Sure. The concept behind it is that, well, I mean, I think it all, you can kind of trace it back to Repro Labels. I think Repro Labels was sort of the first major commercial
Delta Star venture. Yeah.
Yeah, at this kind of concept where you would have something to enhance your figures. So originally, they would release sticker sets for previously released Generation 1 figures or Generation 2 figures in order to recondition the stickers. And I think even at that time, there was a little bit of debate about, you know, how did Hasbro feel about this? What was the copyright issue going to be? And I think at that time, Hasbro sort of took a laissez-faire approach.
It was off the radar.
Yeah, and I think for them, I mean, it was a lot of those sticker sets did one of, and I think that began a symbiotic relationship. So what happened is from there coming into now you have fans that have more means, more resources, and more willingness to try and produce more product. And what we've seen over the last 3 to 5 years have been the introduction of major upgrade kits. So Fans Project came out with probably one of the most popular sets, which has been the City Commander set, which is an upgrade for Classics Ultra Magnus that upgrades it into a full Ultra Magnus style armor. iGear has come out with several sets of weapons upgrade kits for the Classics And they're starting to venture into some other items. So I'll get into that into a minute, because I want to ask your thoughts. Because coming up to now, I mean, do you think Hasbro really cares about items that are upgrading their existing product? Because I mean, what do you think?
I know that Aaron Archer has stated that he thinks that Ripper Labels is awesome. From my understanding, at least with Delta Star, Hasbro has been pretty cool about it. But I've heard recently that when companies are really infringing on the Hasbro IP or intellectual property, that they think that maybe they've been a little too lax and they may need to clamp down. Some of these things, I mean, iGear's Sharktacon, I mean, that's a pretty involved piece. And, I mean, that looks just like Sharktacon from Transformers the movie. So, and Hasbro owns that, and they're making money off of it.
Yeah, and I think, and that's kind of what I was getting at, I think there's a difference, and some may say they don't see a difference, but I think there's a distinct difference between something like City Commander and something like Impossible Toys RC. Ooh. So,
did you see that, John?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, when you have something like City Commander, for one thing, that's upgrading one of their existing figures.
And Hasbro actually has a sale in that already because someone's already bought the toy.
Right, and you can't have one without the other. And in fact, they went through that whole City Commander set and basically made upgrades for all of those Optimus Prime Classics figures. So, in a sense, it's partly driving that market. And the same for a lot of the upgrade sets that have come out. But when you get into something like RC, now, or like you say, the Sharktacon, now they're producing a whole figure. And I don't wonder if this is, you know, as you said, I mean, what do you guys think? What do you think, John? I mean, what do you think about as far as, is it infringement? Is it not? Or,
well, I think if there's a line to be crossed, they're like right at the line or probably have crossed it, you know, in the last couple of years, because, you know, Repro Labels, you know, that was a way to like fix up your, at that time, 15-year-old toy, almost 20-year-old, even when they started. And that's something completely different than upgrading current toys or creating toys to be sold, like, you know, right now. So, and it's the scale, I think, that probably really bothers Hasbro. It's not like, you know, two guys in their garage, you know, cranking out, you know, sticker sheets. It's you know, molds that are created and they go to some factory somewhere and they're packaged and you know, they're put in designed packaging and they have this polish that's basically professional, and then they're sold at trade shows and online. And so, you know, I mean, if there's a line to be crossed, I'm sure they've kind of jumped over it. And somebody who had like no exposure to or wasn't aware of how things worked would probably like see no difference between what Hasbro does and what, you know, some of these people do. You know, Hasbro does it on a much bigger scale, but these other groups are doing the same thing. I mean, they're creating toys and manufacturing toys and then selling them to a mass audience.
I was going to say it's not like they're making like a new Optimus Prime figure, but they are. But it's also it's not like they're just making toys of characters that haven't received toys. We've had RC recently. In fact, we've had a really good RC. The Cybertron RC was. Energon RC was a really great toy. We had a Sharktacon in the last several years. We've had a Quintesson in the last several years. So it's not like they're just, you know, hitting like Dion, who I mentioned recently, a toy that never received anything in America. Hasbro still has the mold for Sharktacon from, was it Energon? I think it was Energon.
Yeah, Energon.
Yeah, and the Quintesson, what was the Quintesson's name?
Alpha Q.
Alpha Q. I mean, they have those molds sitting somewhere. They could release that in Universe or as a Revenge of the Fallen toy. And actually, if Hasbro was smart, they might want to do that. And then sort of say that you're infringing on a product that we currently have on the shelf or that we've had on the shelf in the last couple of years.
Yeah, now, I mean, devil's advocate, though, in a way. I mean, take like the RC figure. they're producing a figure that's more in the line of the Generation 1 figure, and Hasbro's continually not produced a Generation 1 style RC figure.
I don't know if it's Generation 1 style. I mean, it's Generation 1 style cartoon, but I mean, the toy itself, I mean, it looks moderately like RC. If it was a Generation 1 toy, the odds are it would look, you know, drastically different than its cartoon counterpart, so.
Well, as far as, like, the show style, I mean, even at that, it's designed to look like its show counterpart. And that's what I say. I mean, Hasbro's continually refused to produce that figure, and it's something that fans have wanted for a long time. So is it really infringing if it's something Hasbro's passed on?
Yes.
I think to Brian's point, it's different these days because, you know, like repro labels, or like, you know, if you were creating a toy of some obscure character that would never be represented, you know, in physical and as a physical toy. I mean, that feels like something that's quirky and, you know, for the fans. And then, you know, over the last few years, it feels a lot more like, you know, profit is you know, a major driving force in doing this. It's not just like, you know, by the fans and for the fans. It's by the fans, for the fans, you know, for $100 a pop.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's what I was going to say, though. That does tend to be the claim of a lot of these companies, is that their fans project tries to maintain that they're not doing this for profit, but all of the cost goes straight back into production, which I think is a little misleading, because any company can say that. I mean, if you work for a corporation, you essentially take your profits, and for the most, once you've paid off your investors, you turn it around and put it back into the company to invest and grow the company.
Yeah, I mean, I work for a nonprofit. I mean, but I get a paycheck every week. It's not like all the money goes directly back into the nonprofit. I mean, someone somewhere gets paid, and it's no different with these toys. Somebody is getting paid. Somebody's, you know, getting paid for their time, and that's the way things work in a capitalist system. But also in a capitalist system, there is ownership, and Hasbro owns these trademarks and these intellectual properties. And really, there's nothing that is kind of off the table for Hasbro to make a toy of anymore. Look, they just made a Transmutate toy in the last couple of years. Did you ever see that happening? No. So if Hasbro is willing to make a Transmutate toy, you know, it's not off the table for them to make that G1 RC toy. And Headmaster Don will be ecstatic.
Well, but do you think, though, that maybe, I mean, again, it kind of comes back to the repro labels. I mean, when repro labels, they would start to have special sticker sets for figures that they knew were coming out, which I think is most comparable to, say, the most recent release of Superion, with its upgrade, with an upgrade kit that was coming out from Fans Project, that I think increased the popularity of a toy which was otherwise semi-lackluster, that became highly sought after because of the upgrade kit. And, you know, is Hasbro going to shoot itself in the foot if it tries to come down on some of this?
No, what I worry about is the upgrade kit market. I don't really see the upgrade kits really driving sales of the toys. Maybe, you know, very marginally with the fans. Oh, well, I wasn't going to get that Classics Ultra Magnus because he was just a repaint of Optimus. But there's that, you know, jinky-looking, you know, upgrade kit that turns him into the, you know, the full-armored, you know, Ultra Magnus. But what I worry about is if Hasbro starts to crack down on these things, like the kits, the Sharktacons, the Quintessons, the Auto Scout. And the Auto Scout comic is awful. I'm going to link to that. If you guys didn't see the origin, it's awful. Terrible. But if Hasbro starts cracking down on those, where do they stop? I mean, if they're going to be fair, they'll start cracking down on the people that do the upgrade kits and even Delta Star at repro labels. And, I mean, I would find that unfortunate. And I would really hate for, you know, companies like iGear and whoever to really sort of ruin all of this for everybody else, to where everything becomes like a, you know, basically a meth lab that you have in your closet that you're hiding and you don't want anybody to know about. And you just, you know, pass around on the underground, because that's how I get my meth. But I would really hate for, like, a really good organization like RepRLabels.com to sort of have to either, you know, close its doors or start dealing entirely back on Alt Toys Transformers, like where it started years ago.
Yeah, you'd hate for everybody to, like, you know, have to, you know, stop what they're doing and go home, you know, because of, you know, the worst case scenarios cause everybody to have to stop what they're doing. Because, I mean, there are legitimate things out there, you know, that, I mean, there are legitimate fan projects that are really just for fans, or they're really crazy and obscure and everybody likes them, and there's, you know, no problem with those.
Yeah, and to be totally honest, though, I guess to go in the other direction, we've had knockoff toys for years. I love knockoff toys. I'll go to Big Lots, and Hasbro supposedly cracked down on Big Lots, but I can still go and get a knockoff Optimal Optimus if I wanted to. And, I mean, they still have plenty of those. And Hasbro, I mean, until, like, this quarter of 2000, second quarter of 2009, their sales have been pretty good. And I don't really think the knockoffs have really, you know, impacted their sales that much. But as a matter of protecting IP, I can totally see Hasbro going after iGear and the other companies, I guess, the perpetrators of the infringement.
Well, and that's the nice thing, though, and maybe that's where we can take some comfort, is that Hasbro, there's, when you infringe on a copyright, it's not like, it's a civil suit. So it's not like the, you know, the feds are going to come down on these companies. It's going to be up to Hasbro to file these suits. And Hasbro can be selective. I mean, they can choose, you know, what particular items or what particular companies they want to come down on. Now, I mean, on the other side of that, if they do come down on some of these companies, they probably don't have a lot of funds to defend themselves legally. So, I mean, at worst, they might get a cease and desist you know, may have to end some of these lines. I mean, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully the line can be drawn at making a brand new figure. I think, personally, I think it's okay if you're upgrading an existing figure, because Hasbro's still going to make money on that, and the upgrade kit isn't going to do you any good without the figure. So the City Commander upgrade kit doesn't help you unless you've already spent the money for Optimus. On the other hand, you don't have to spend any money with Hasbro to get, say, the RC, and I could totally see them cracking down on that.
Is the what is it called? The mini masterpiece? What is it? Mini?
Yeah, and that's a new one. That's a good one to bring up.
I mean, that is totally. I mean, is, okay, I'll ask this because I don't know. Does iGear have any, like, you know, deal with Hasbro to use the Transformers name or the likenesses or anything?
I don't think so. And most of these companies have been very careful about the naming of their products. So, for example, they don't call it an Ultra Magnus upgrade kit. Fans Project doesn't. They call it the City Commander set. They have another one coming out, which is going to be an upgrade for Hot Rod, well, Hot Rodimus, into Rodimus Prime. And they're calling that Protector. So they're trying to be careful to not include the symbols or the actual names in the products.
Yeah, he doesn't have an Autobot symbol anywhere, and he's referred to as IGPP01. Okay. That's still kind of scummy, but...
Well, and I think this is a good point, though, because, for one, I think this falls into the knockoff category. Because it's clearly using pieces designed for that masterpiece set. And yeah, there are some tweaks and improvements to it, but it's pretty much on the body the same figure. Have you seen this, John?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, it's definitely, I guess, a glorified knockoff. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's basically, you know, an unauthorized reproduction of an action figure. So,
yeah, it's basically a knockoff to where some pride and love was put into it.
Right.
And this is the one that I think might really bring the wrath down on iGear, because, wow, I mean, it is pretty much stealing Hasbro and Takara property, you know, and improving on it, which is, you know, I don't think the legality as far as copyrights go will let you do that, so...
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah, and so, and you know, if it's not this, it's going to be something like this, where, you know, one of them, you know, one of the fan project groups, you know, goes too far, or they, you know, they do one thing that just takes it way too far, and, you know, really gets Hasbro's attention. And it may be this, or it may be something, you know, a year from now, but that's probably, you know, when we'll see like a big change in things, is when they do something significant or something that, you know, in particular that really riles Hasbro.
Yeah, I think overall we can agree, though, that it's kind of scummy. That's my word, scummy. It's a kind of scummy that they're doing this. And we worry that it'll really hurt the legitimate fan projects out there that are, I guess, accentuating the existing Hasbro product instead of, you know, giving someone a reason to purchase their product in the stead of Hasbro's product. So let's go ahead and end it there, and we will join our buddy Rob Springer. Rob has this week picked up Ejector, and this is actually one of the few Revenge of the Fallen toys that I am seriously interested in. So take it away, Rob.
Hey, this is Rob with Radio Free Cybertron, and today I'm going to review Ejector from the current Revenge of the Fallen toy line. I almost said toaster because Ejector turns into a toaster. No, he's not a fun cyberjet or a little fun car or even a spunky little boat. Nope, Ejector turns into a toaster. And that's a first for this toy line, and I, for one, am grateful. Although I have to say, I don't think many kids will be. Because, you know, they package Ejector in robot mode, and he looks great. He's like a little, gremlin in his package. And then when you turn him into a toaster, there's not really anything fun about the toaster. Yeah, it's just a toaster. It'd be great if it had a shooting missile or something, but nope, it doesn't turn into anything much exciting, so I don't think the kids will like him very much. But I think for those of us with a sense of humor, he's going to be a fun little addition to sit by at a computer and confuse people when they're asking why you have a toaster. He doesn't really... It takes a little imagination to let this toaster mode come through, because it's a pretty rough-looking toaster. But you know what? The hell with that. We're having fun. One cool thing is the toaster has a plug that you would plug into the wall or whatnot, which is basically a little piece of plastic shaped like the plug-in on a string. And this forms Ejector's tail in robot mode. Remember how I said he's kind of like a goblin? Very goblin-looking appearance. Well, so he has a little tail in robot mode to add to that little goblin appearance. I appreciate the little string tail. It's kind of it's almost like the doll hair on Mach Kick back in Beast Wars. Just a little bit of silliness that I kind of like. And let you hear it. Hear that? Yeah, I just hit you with the tail. But yeah, he comes packaged in robot mode, because, you know, they want to put him in the most attractive modes to sell. And he's a fun little robot guy, although those arms will not stay on for anything, as arms will pop off just by looking at them. Taking them out of the package, you have to put them back on. I mean, this guy's just frustrating with these arms. It takes nothing for him to pop right off. I even had him just fall right off. I don't know if it's a plastic quality issue or what. Ejector does have four arms, though, which is weird. It's fun for the fact that you don't really see a lot of forearm Transformers anymore that often, and here's one. His extra two arms are kind of reaching. They're not as great as his normal articulated arms are, but they're there for what they're there for, and you can fold them out of the way if you don't want them having extra grabby hands. Grabby hands. There's really not that much to say about him. He's a very basic little toy. He doesn't have any firing guns. Doesn't really have really any play value other than novelty, to be truthful for. This is one of those you're kind of surprised Hasbro bothered to put out, because he's so plain. According to his bio, he's pretty much just an idiot who likes to set things on fire, which is great. I guess he's kind of like Beast Wars Inferno in that aspect. Saying that when he was a toaster, all he could do was burn stuff, which is true, because I burned my waffles this morning with my toaster, and it annoyed the crap out of me. I wanted one. You know, he's got a simple mind now that he's magically come to life. And now he can just he has his own flamethrowers. Now he can just burn everything he can. It doesn't take much to say that he represents the little kitchen guys that came to life at the beginning of Transformers 2. I guess that's a spoiler alert in case any of you haven't seen it, but be truthful. You're listening to this, you've already seen Transformers 2. That was a given. Yeah, he's meant to represent these little kitchen guys. And, you know, he's pretty fun. There's not really much to say about him. Like I said, I wish he had a gun or something. Just a little something. But he's pretty bare bones and plain. That little goblin-like appearance, though, is great. His face is comical. It almost looks like, it makes me think of, Inhumans. Was that the line with the big monster toys? And they had, like, the monster trees and all that. He makes me think of those toys. Just the way his face is carved with the... it's got an expression of sort of like a... One eye is bigger than the other, and this big gaping mouth with teeth. I mean, he's very funny looking to me. But yeah, he just looks like a little goblin monster type. He really, it's Inhumans. He totally reminds me of Inhumans, just on a much smaller scale. I really wish I had more to say about this guy, but I don't. Like I said, he's pretty basic. He's mostly a silver plastic color. Well, to be truthful, it's mostly gray with silver paint on the toaster parts with a little bits of red in there to pick up the patterns and really break it up a little. He's not very colorful, but you know, he turns into a toaster and he's from the movie line. What do you expect? You know, do you expect bright colors? It's Michael Bay we're talking about. Don't be silly. Well, that's really all I got to say about him. Wish there was more, like I've said. Maybe if he shot little toast-shaped rockets, that'd be great. Just boom, explosive toast. That would be great, but no. And do I recommend you pick up Ejector? Yeah, go buy them. I mean, really, when's the next time you're going to get to buy a Decepticon that turns into a toaster? Really? Is he that great of a toy? He's midways. I mean, he transforms into a toaster that's really just funny. It's not really useful. It doesn't roll around, doesn't shoot missiles, it's not a plane or anything, but it's just it's a toaster. Kind of an older style toaster. Or maybe one of those way cool toasters you get at more expensive stores that you paid a lot to look like an older toaster. Is robot mode? Yeah, it's fun. It's a little awkward, but it's fun. The forearms are kind of neat. Just be careful, because like I said, that you're going to yank those arms off just by touching them gently. And it's not going to take much. You just snap them back on, of course. But I was noticing the little peg, the shoulder peg on mine, starting to already look like he's getting stress lines. So I got to think it's a plastic quality issue on that. You know, these movie toys seem to be... The plastic quality's a little iffy on them, just like the last movie. Revenge of the Fallen definitely falls into that line two of... The plastic's a little iffy. I don't know if that's just because of the super gigantic numbers being made to get them out on shelves in time for release or what, but yeah, the plastic's a little iffy on them, but go buy them. Just go buy them. Go buy them and sit and laugh at your Decepticon that turns into a toaster. And if you happen to be one of those guys who back in the day used to say how the Decepticons are really the good guy, well, I guess that's shattered glass now, but work with me here. And you know, Soundwave was the parent of a family of cassettes that lived inside of them, and Megatron was a loving father figure, and Starscream was just that little brother type. You know, it's all cute. Little Ejector's their little toaster who makes them breakfast in the morning. Gives them a little glass of OJ. That's Ejector. See, it works out even for our retrofitting and repurposing. Boy, I'm reaching with that. Anyway, but yeah, you could do a lot worse if you buy they're called Scouts now. If you go buy a Scout, you could do a lot worse than Ejector. But he's a fun little guy to have. You can just leave him in toaster mode like I am and laugh when people say, why do you have a toy of a toaster? And be like, yeah, it's a Transformer. Yeah. Then you'll probably get that, they're not like they used to be speech and blah, blah, blah. And then you'll kind of wish you never showed it to him. Anyway, this is Rob for Radio Free Cybertron. And back to you, Brian Kilby.
Hey, thank you there, Rob. Yeah, Ejector is, like I said, it's one of the few toys that I could really see myself picking up. I also want Wheelie, and I don't know why, but I want Wheelie, and the Skids and Mudflap 2-pack, which I just saw recently. I've mentioned this before. I am not a completist anymore. I was almost a completist. I think I missed two toys. But I just hated, you know, plunking down $500 or $600 to catch up on a line toward the end. I don't have the money anymore. John, you said that you still are basically a completist.
I'm a completist when I'm a completist on certain lines. So I'm like nowhere near a completist on movie stuff. In fact, I really, really pick and choose. On the first movie, I got maybe three or four toys. And then on Revenge of the Fallen, I can already tell that I'll get all the Human Alliance figures because they're excellent. But for the most part, no. I mean, I kind of pick my shots.
Yeah, for the Armada and Energon lines, I was a completist. I love those. Cybertron, even though Cybertron most people consider like sort of the pinnacle there, just, I don't know. I was sort of burned out after the first two branches of the trilogy. But Animated really re-energized me after the first movie line, because I found that most of the toys in the first movie line to be kind of forgettable. I still don't care for the design aesthetic. And Animated sort of took those designs at a high level and made them fun. And that's, Animated is great. Okay. I wanted to mention, I posted this on Facebook. We have a new show. We're starting it. We tried it out last week, due to a technical issue. It didn't go. We were going to do it this week, but we're going to let it percolate and sort of, you know, grow and see what it becomes. And we're going to do next week, we're going to next Thursday, start that off. So, because we're not doing a show this week, I just wanted to mention District 9. It's basically the big sci-fi movie going on now. Just my general thought on District 9, and we'll go more into it next week, on the new show. It is meticulously crafted. It's beautiful. And I think it's kind of like, for me, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. They have this idea that they want to go for, and they capture it perfectly. But like Sky Captain, it doesn't exactly work for me. There's really no characters to root for, so I really couldn't get emotionally attached. So, because I couldn't get emotionally attached, I felt completely detached from the whole movie. Just for the experience of the special effects and the way the movie's edited together, it's getting moderate thumbs up from me, but I don't love it like everyone else is. So, just wanted to mention that, since, and we'll go into it in the new show next week, but we'll do that then. So I guess we want to wrap up the show with just one mention. There is a link. I pulled this from the AllSpark. It goes to newgrounds.com. This, I guess, would you say cute, guys? Sort of cute?
Yeah. I'll go out on a limb and say cute.
Yeah, it was clever.
It's clever. Clever is a good word.
Clever, yes.
Clever. This clever flash animation with a silent movie sort of vibe going on. Of Transformers, and just go look at that. Also, while you're looking at our website, tfradio.net, you can look at the pictures of the that I took of the Versus Pack Barricade versus Bumblebee RPM, as well as the disgusting multivitamins. So, JD, how do we reach you?
As always, Twitter at Unicron Spawn.
Yeah, I am at briankilby.com, which is, if you're at tfradio.net, you're there. Just click there at the top. Yeah, if you haven't, make sure you go to tfradio.net to subscribe. You can subscribe via RSS, or you can subscribe via iTunes. I hate iTunes, but I have the link out there. So, John, thank you for being here. Are you going to be here next week? Or are you going to be participating?
Sure, I can be here next week if you guys are going to be here next week.
We'll be here next week. Are you going to be here next week, JD?
Yes. Well, I should be here.
Awesome.
Barring a disaster.
That's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. I'm Brian Kilby. And?
JD.
And John.
And we will see you all next week. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Joining the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?